Cornerstone Gun Dog Academy. Online resources to help you train your retriever.
Well, Cade, I'm excited to have you here. You know, there's a lot that we can talk about, but let's go back before we get to, you know, our relationship, because we've known each other, I don't know, almost 10 years now, yeah. Somewhere in there. Let's go back to your story, the beginning, your roots of hunting, or how'd you get into it? Your first experience with dogs?
Yeah.
Well, nine yards.
Grew up around dogs my whole life, bird dogs and labs and cattle dogs. And with my dad, I mean, he was a big quail hunter and duck hunter, and he passed away about 10 years ago, I guess, in 2012. No, yeah, be 11 years this year.
Wow.
But he always grew up. My uncle Phil trialed bird dogs over in Fort Payne. And so we just grew up around English setters and Lou Ellens and labs and cur dogs and blue heelers. And so dogs have always just been a really big part of our, just who we are. My wife's same way. She's always, they fox hunted and we're around the hounds, and which you don't call those dogs. I get in trouble calling them dogs. So dogs have just always been a big part of our family.
That's awesome. What was your first dog that you remember that was like yours?
Mud Dog, black lab. I remember Mud Dog. He was dad's dog, but he was very protective of me and my brother, and kind of babysit us out by our farm and looked after us. He bit one of dad's coaching buddies one time that came in the yard while we were out playing, grabbed onto his cowboy boots and wouldn't let go. So yeah, Mud Dog was the first one that I really remember.
Wow. It sounds like a pretty good dog. Was he a hunting dog, just family dog, or
both?
Both.
Yep. Dad hunted him. And then we had other labs that were, you know, they were the American bred, what you would think American, just hyper, out of control, stayed in the kennel all the time. And
yep.
But Mud Dog was the one that kind of just hung around the house and went with dad everywhere. And he and one of his English setters, Rex, they would go to the football field with him when he was coaching, and just family dogs, but hunted.
That reminds me of the whole setter debacle we went through. I wouldn't call it a debacle, but that was, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun when your dad and I decided to get four English setter puppies at one time. And I lost a job during all that. So it was like, oh Lord, what do we do?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was something else. Those dogs were wild.
They were wild. Keith and I had a good idea, just bad timing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was overloaded at the time with school and just
because you were in college, dogs. I think, then when we got those puppies.
I was, and then I was going to school, and well, I think we had a lot of dogs. We already had like 12 or 15 dogs that we were training for others, including our own, and then we added those, and that was a whole new sphere. So that was fun. But those dogs were so naturally instinctive.
Oh, yeah.
Something else.
It was just getting the obedience down on them.
Yeah.
Which was hard to do with three of them at once. And then y'all had the other one down at y'all's house. And it was an experience. It was an experience.
Yeah, I remember coming back and then coming home and then seeing those dogs. I was like, what on earth are we getting into now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I left a cattleman's meeting in Nashville. Your dad arranged everything. I left Nashville that Friday night, the National Cattleman's meeting. Sent my wife back to Alabama, to Huntsville. I drove 10 hours to Blandinsville, Illinois, picked up four dogs, dropped one off in Kentucky on the way home, and then showed up at home with three puppies. And my wife was like, what are you doing? So, yeah, it was fun.
Well, so where did I guess you were hunting from basically as soon as you could, as you were of age.
Yeah, 5-6 years old.
Going duck hunting, deer hunting, all?
All.
The above?
Yep.
What was your first memory of duck hunting like?
I guess going over to Scottsboro with my dad. He was a head football coach in Scottsboro before I was born, so he had a lot of guys over in Scottsboro that were had land and that he was still real close with, and going over there and getting a pit next to the refuge.
Wow.
Yeah, out in the middle of the field. And that was, I don't remember how old I was, 8 or 9, I guess.
Wow.
And then I remember dad telling stories of the refuge there in Scottsboro. Before it was refuge, and they'd go hunt it before high school, before school started, and then he'd send his football players back to get the ducks in the afternoon. So they just stack them up on top of logs and all that, and then they go back and get them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man. Those are the days. So where did your first experience training a dog? I guess it sounds like you were kind of doing a little bit of that as a kid. You were just kind of messing with them and figuring it out.
Yeah, and I was odd to always go with my uncle and dad when they'd work the bird dogs. And which, you know, back then it was all the old Tritronics with antennas on them this long, shocking them. And, you know, if a bird dog ran off, shooting them in the butt with a 20 gauge. And I mean, I started crying one time. We were quail hunting and I saw my uncle shoot, I think it was his dog Major. He was a Belton. And he got on a deer and he lit that dog up and I started crying. And
oh,
was like,
man.
But that was how we did it, you know. And but I guess my first dog that I trained was when I was 16 or 17, a Blue Heeler.
Yeah.
And got him for my birthday. One of Dad's buddies gave him to me. And the deal was I had to train him.
Wow.
And so after football practice, every day I had to go to Don Crafts, who trained cattle dogs close to us. No matter if it was raining like it is today or whatever, we were out there for a year. And that was a big learning experience. Big learning experience.
Yeah. I guess that kind of – did that make you more likely to keep training them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think that Coach was the right dog because at that time I'd get, you know, aggravated and mad, and he was always real forgiving.
Yeah.
Most other – it's kind of like Slash.
Yeah.
You know, you were real patient with him where your dad and I were like, we jerking not in him. And Slash has been that way with me as far as duck dogs. He's been really – he's very forgiving.
Yeah.
Like in the early years, if I'd lose my temper with him and pop him or something like that, he doesn't shy down from you. So,
yeah.
Which you always said that he's kind of hard headed. So
he was pretty, or I don't know if he still is, but when I was working him, he was definitely.
Oh, he still is.
Yeah.
But I know how to handle him. He and
that's
I,
the key.
We have our way that we do things. So,
yeah. Well, how did you find us on Facebook? I don't remember
the whole story. Yeah, sitting there. At my oldest daughter, Shelby's. We were at a travel volleyball tournament, I think, in Birmingham. Gosh, she was young. She's 21 now, so 8-10 years ago.
Wow.
Well, 8 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was looking for a new dog and found the Facebook post and called your dad, and we just hit it off like long-lost friends, and that's how it all started.
That's crazy. That was... I'm trying to remember. I don't remember exactly which litter that was.
That was Earl and Ellie. That was a 2000.
Yeah.
That
was Lily, right?
Lily. Yeah. 2013 or 2015 litter.
Yeah. We had a good bit of puppies in that one, I believe.
Yes.
And he was among, I think we kept a couple out of that litter from from clients that we got to train those. Mm-hmm. So that's where kind of our story begins. You know, you met us, you came and picked up your pup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you asked us to train your dog, and then we started training it. And what was that whole process like for you? I guess at that time you were thinking, this is pre CGA. This is before CGA ever existed.
Oh yeah, there was no CGA. This was. I remember your dad and I getting out there, and I think you were there when Slash was when we got him, or a few weeks after, and just started doing clicker and treats and placeboard and. So I got to there and did the obedience with the help of you and your dad. And then I had to start traveling, I think, for work a lot. And told your dad, I was like, hey, we got to keep this going. Does Josh feel like working dogs? And so that's how it started. Sly spent a lot of time with you guys.
He did.
When we'd go out of town, he'd always come to y'all's house. And y'all keep him working while we were at the beach or going to softball tournaments or –
He's in some of the original Complete Gun Dog Academy videos.
He is. I tell people that when I try to get them to look at CGA. It's like, now you know Slash. You know what kind of dog? He's in some of the early videos.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's talk through that whole process. I guess you have a very unique story just because we've known each other for so long.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like, you know, the first time Dad told you about the idea of CGA? Do you remember what that conversation was?
Yeah.
Because we told you about it before we ever even knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, I think that you and your dad and Barton had just started playing with the idea to come up with an online complete gun dog training system. And yeah, your dad was like, look, you can't say anything about this to anybody. Don't talk about it. But here's what we're thinking. What do you think? And I thought about it for a day or two, and your dad and I, we used to talk on the phone every day for an hour. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, there's a lot of guys that can't afford, you know, back then it was probably $500 a month training. And there's a lot of guys that can't.
Yeah.
You know, just because, of, you know, I've got two girls, got one in college and a nine-year-old, and have a pretty good job. But the thought of spending $800 a month training a dog, God, I'll do it if I have to, but it's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this could work. You know, this could be a cool thing. And, you know, watching it progress over the years, what you and Barton have done, it's just been phenomenal. I mean, the videos, the, you know, because that was one of the things I think some of the first members were saying, well, we're seeing videos where the dog's doing it perfect.
Yeah.
How do we do it when it messes? I was fortunate enough, if Slash did something wrong, I'd pick the phone up and call you or call Keith and say, hey, Knothead's doing this. How do I fix it? You know, and we'd talk through it for 10 minutes and I'd fix it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's evolved into this thing now that it's just unbelievable, I think. And it works.
Yeah.
I mean, you take Slash, for example. Now, he was hard-headed, and he got messed up by the first guy that we decided to send him to. You know, he I remember your dad saying that if Slash didn't have his personality and we wouldn't have socialized him the way we did when he was – because Slash used to go to softball games with us when he was when I was coaching. He'd lay in the dugout. I mean, as a 10-week-old puppy, and, you know, he was fine. But Slash got, not abused, but he just got neglected when I had him at this other trainer.
Yeah.
I remember that Saturday I went to go pay the guy, and I called your dad, and I said, if Josh can handle him right now, I'm coming right now. And I got Slash in the truck, left up on the mountain, and called my wife and said, hey, Diane, I'm headed to Keith and Josh. I'll be back in a couple hours. And so, and it took us 2 years to finish Slash. I mean, because it was – it was a slow process with him.
Yeah.
We had to kind of start over. And, but, you know, that's, I think, a testament to the training methods that we all use. Is that, because when we did get Slash finished, I'd been hunting in Arkansas for since, I guess, 08, somewhere in there, before Slash was ever born. And had a club up there outside of Stuttgart. And I lost a job. Company I was an agronomist for, they kind of just shut down. And so I didn't hunt for another year or two just to save money.
Right.
And Slash was finished, but he didn't hunt for 2 years. So his first year in Arkansas wasn't until his 4 or 5 year old season.
Wow.
You know, worked him at home, but he didn't hunt for two. I mean, the first retrieve he went on in Arkansas, he brought me back a decoy. I was very, very proud. You know, that was one of those moments I was like, that a boy Slash. You know. But yeah, I mean, you take a dog like that that was trained at a really high level, and then he didn't get to do what he was trained to do for 2 years because his owner just couldn't afford to go do it. That says something about the training, I think.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I hunt out in South Dakota every year with a buddy of mine out there, out in western South Dakota. And I remember I borrowed a buddy of mine, Will's large gunner kennel the first year I went, because my dog box was down at your dad's house. And I met him in town in Huntsville to pick up that kennel before we left. Well, one of his buddies that trains dogs, big dog trainer, Will introduced us in the parking lot. And Will was telling that I was going to South Dakota and taking Slash, all that, because Slash goes with me every year. And that guy was like, I wouldn't carry a duck dog to hunt pheasants. That'll just mess them up. I just kind of snickered and laughed. And, you know, we didn't train Slash on upland.
Nope.
I mean, you and I didn't. But I carried him out there the first year. And the one thing I did do the first year was I put an e-collar on him. Just because Cody told me, said, look, if that dog gets on something out here, I mean, it's just millions of acres. You'll lose
him. Yeah.
So I put an e-collar on him. And I kind of messed up the – Slash listens, but he gets that male hardheadedness sometimes, that nose gets going.
Yeah.
So he was listening. We were going to hunt that afternoon, and he was getting the hang of it, starting to learn how to quarter and stuff. Well, he was wanting to go with Cody and his two dogs, and I was going another way. Buddy Jess and I were going. Well, I just reached down to hit my remote real quick on my vest. Well, it was turned up to number 7.
Oh, no.
And I zapped that dog. He jumped up, went did a 360.
Oh, man.
I thought I ruined him because he wasn't trained with a shock collar.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We just didn't use them. And I felt terrible. I was like, oh, Lord, I've ruined this dog. You know, his first time in South Dakota. And, he's never been shocked hard. Just vibrating. That's all right. He needs. And that's just kind of wake him up and say, hey, Dad's talking to me. Come here. And we got back that night. And after that, like 10 minutes after that, that dog was, I could go, he'd quarterback. I mean, never had to say his name again. And that earlier that morning, I was slash here, slash, you know, just yelling, screaming, probably driving Cody crazy and everybody else hunting.
I bet that it scared him more than it actually hurt him. I think he just didn't.
Yeah,
he probably never really even felt it before. He's like, what is that?
Yeah, he didn't know what was going on. And I felt bad. We were cleaning birds that night in the shop. I looked at Cody and I said, I ruined that dog today probably. He said, no. He said, you taught that dog who the alpha was. He said, Slash was controlling you this morning. He said, now, and that was 4 years ago, I guess. Now, he just goes and he knows what to do. And then we always go out there the first part of November, the first 2 weeks of November. And so then we come home for a week. Then we're in Arkansas and he goes and sits in a pit all day or his Invisalab all day and doesn't break, you know? So that's just to me, if you train these dogs correctly, give them the foundation they need and that basic obedience, you can go do with them whatever you want.
That's awesome.
And people want to question. I can, my friend Jess down in Georgia, he wanted a puppy out of Violet a couple years before she got bred when we thought we weren't going to be able to get her bred. And he wanted a British Lab, bred like Slash, because he's hunted with Slash in South Dakota for three or four years. And then I take him down to his farm to run through peanut field when I'm down there looking at his peanuts and crops and I just leave Slash outside. He'll go lay by the truck. Don't have to put him in a kennel. You know, at night I do, just for his safety. But in the evenings while I eat dinner, he just lays out. I'll feed him. He'll go run around for a minute, and he'll come back and lay by the driver's side door of my truck.
That's awesome.
And so to me, that's just people want to question what we're doing and how we do it. I can show you a dog that had it pretty hard, had a pretty rocky start, and he's kind of a rock star now.
Yeah.
And he's not perfect now. I mean, he don't want to pick up a snow goose. You know, he'll walk. You have to send him 3 times to get a snow goose. I don't know what it is, but he'll ducks and geese. And there's things we could have, your dad and I've talked about this several years ago. I can make him run a straight line.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go run some competitions if we wanted to, but I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, when we're hunting, I mean, we're out to duck hunt and shoot ducks and get ducks. And if he wants to go this way to get it and it's easier for him, by all means, buddy, take off. You know, just bring it back to me.
Yep.
And so I'm a little different, I think, than some people that I train them the correct way to do it, the way you and Barton lay out, and we hammer that into them. But like a dog, he's smart. I mean, he doesn't act it sometimes, but he's a smart dog, and he knows what's going on. You know, he did that to me pheasant hunting this year. I kept trying to get him over this way on a dead bird. And a friend of mine from South Carolina, he's like, I think the bird's over here. And about 2 seconds later, Slash came back with it. You know, I've learned just to trust him and leave him alone. And he knows what's going on. And this year, I even used him to block because we were short on people.
Yeah.
And so I took Slash and put him on this point. Another guy stayed over here. And then I walked about 200 yards the other way.
Man.
He never moved. Now, he wanted to. I mean, Slash is that dog. He wants to go.
Yeah.
But I set him right there, told him to sit, and I took off walking. And when I came back the other way, he was still sitting there.
That's pretty hard to do. It takes a lot of, obviously he's a little bit older now, more mature.
But also,
he's had a lot of training. So he's trained with us. You've trained him. You've used the program.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you've got a new puppy that's probably a whole nother dynamic to everything, too.
Yeah. Little May, she's a, I guess it's like having kids. They're all different.
You know?
Like I got mad at May one time. I think I called you that afternoon a few months ago. And I didn't whip or anything, but I kind of grabbed her by the nape of her neck because that was the first time, like Diane said, my wife, she's like, you're so used to her being perfect. I mean, because she has been. She has been, you know, anything we do, that dog, she has got a head full of sense. I don't know if that's coming from Cedar or from Violet or a combination or from Earl, but she has just got a head. She watches you. She is, you do something with her clicker and treat one time, she's got it.
Yeah, they're smart.
It's like when I had your puppy up there, her sister, I was working both of them at the same time, and they're both just, you know, they're a different level.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell people. I said, if I don't mess this dog up, she'll be something good.
Yeah.
I mean, really good. So, but yeah, it's a different dynamic having two different personalities, because I hurt her feelings that day.
Yeah. They're a little softer. Yeah. You know, I think, like, Earl, we got him a little bit later in life, and he had mm-hmm. been through a good bit.
Yeah.
But Violet, we were able to start from ground zero with her and then mm-hmm. build her out.
Right.
You know, I don't know how much of that impacts, like, the next up generation, how much training you've put into it impacts this specific puppy, you know.
Right.
I don't know. But all I know is I'm very happy with this litter, and I'm excited for May and to see what she turns into in Birdie. You know, I think they're going to be good dogs.
I'm hoping. I mean, with Slash, I knew it would be 2 years before we ever hunted him, and I think that May, I mean, she won't go to South Dakota this year.
Yeah.
But I think she'll be ready for duck season.
It's a good chance.
At least to go watch and sit there and learn some patience. Let's watch Slash and Hank and Max go get the rest of them. So she'll learn some patience.
She might want to show them up. I mean,
she probably will. She probably will, knowing her. So she is full of herself. You can tell that. She is very confident.
It's good.
You know, I watched her when we brought her home from your house that night. When Slash was that age, like seven weeks old, I guess.
Yeah.
When I went out at night with him, I had to walk around with him. Like, he wouldn't walk outside the floodlights. Little girl, she doesn't care. She, you know, we've left her outside, not even in the playpen.
Wow.
You know, Slash had to go in the playpen.
Yeah.
And he'd bark and howl. This little one, she'll walk in the dark corner by herself, go look at the dogs next door. I mean, she's not scared. And then when she does look, she'll just sit there and she's got that, she looks like Earl, you know, sitting there with that regal head, like she's somebody special, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, she's funny. And with her, I mean, I don't know if it's the way we have done things with them. I mean, I feel like I've done everything exactly the same as we did with Slash. Never had an accident in the kennel.
Yeah.
You know, didn't whine at night. I mean, after three or four nights, I think she sleeps all night.
Yeah.
I mean, even when we brought her home, she woke up twice, I think, the first couple nights. But, you know, I can bring May inside. And my rule is, and the girls know it, when they're puppies, they're not in the house playing.
Yeah.
If they're in the house, they're in the kennel.
Yeah.
Slash, I mean, he stays out all the time. You know, if we're going to church, Slash just lays on his bed, whatever. Now he's getting where he likes to go jump on the bed. Now he's getting almost 8 years old. You know, he's got a birthday this month. He'll be eight. But May, you can bring her in and put her in front of the fireplace on Slash's bed and tell her to place. Now, she'll get up once or twice when she wants to go play with the cat or my oldest daughter's little Jose dog. You know, because he's just aggravating. He's cute. That's all I can say about Jose. That's all he's good for. He's cute. But she likes to play with Jose. And so she'll jump up, but I grab her, get her back in place. And after about 5 minutes, she's there. And Diane's always said, we could have never, ever done that with Slash.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't come in the house till he was 4 or 5 years old. Wow. His kennel was outside.
Yeah.
Just because he would listen to me, but he wouldn't listen to the girls.
Yeah.
You know, and now he sleeps with the girls every night. He won't even sleep by my bed. He'll go upstairs with Shelby or with Millie. So I think he's enjoying getting older.
Yeah, I would imagine so. He's looking like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So for you, with the whole process, obviously you did some of the training. We did some of the mm-hmm. training. You know, it was a hodgepodge for him. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you going from, you know, seeing the conception of the idea of CGA to then using it for the first time? Obviously, when we first launched it, you know, you were using mm-hmm. it. We didn't have a whole lot in there.
Right.
Versus to, you know, what, you know, let's compare old Slash and your experience before to where you're at now. Obviously, it's further down the road now.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Because back then, when you and Keith and Barton were first starting, everything, like when the, I remember the first time you or your dad showed me a clicker and a treat pouch. I was like, you got to be kidding me. We're not doing this. You got e-collars here. This is how we're doing it. And I did it. I mean, I bought in because of the respect and love I have for you and your dad. I was like, okay, I'm going to do what they tell me to do. And it worked. I mean, it was like.
It works so good, too. Yeah. Everybody's like, it doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, it makes sense on why it works. But it's like, I understand like your perspective. You're saying there from the first time. You're like, there's no way.
Well, you got to think, my dad was born in 1930. Head football coach, farmer.
Wow.
And he loved animals. But now my uncle, they were tools to him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were. Dad, he loved them, but he still used shock collars. Yeah. And I there's two shock collars in my truck right now. But I try not to use them. Like, I won't train May with one. But if it gets to a point where she wants to be like her uncle slash is her uncle, I guess, you know, she'll learn what the vibration means at least to pay attention. But, you know, Slash was 4 years old before he ever had one on. So. Yeah. Now the progression we've made is just now it's like, yeah, I'll watch the video on my phone. That's what's great about having the app.
Yeah.
I can go out in the garage, get everything ready. So, okay, what do I need to do today? You know, but it's like, I know most of it, but I still watch the videos, you know, just to make sure, okay, what is Josh or Barton going to say today that I forgot? So, and it's handy if we're out doing it, especially when you get, I think, a little bit farther along. You know, I think you and I are both going a little bit slower with these puppies. Yeah. I mean, we should be on what, week 17, 18?
Yeah, we should be in the
probably.
20s right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, in the 20s. And I'm probably still on week 12.
That's about where I'm. You know, I'm just taking my time with her.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, May picks everything up. She is going to know how to place and sit and not move when I tell her. And that is the goal right now. And she does it. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm getting into, I do work on crops. I'm an agronomist and so it's about to get my busy time of the year and got to go out of the country for 2 weeks coming up in March, into March. And I don't want to get her doing certain things that I know my wife or oldest daughter don't want to go out and mess with.
Right.
Shelby will go out there with May and do place and sit. My 9-year-old Millie, and she's out there with me all the time when I'm training. You know, she's usually swinging, but Millie will make her sit. I mean, right. Millie can go out there and work May, the stuff we're doing right now. And that's my goal is that, and Millie's been out there with Slash with me. They're 2 years apart. Yeah, Millie will be 10 in April. So they've kind of grown up together.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've got pictures at your mom and dad's house of when we came to look at the puppies. We were on our way to a volleyball game for Shelby, and Millie's sitting in the pen with all the puppies in her diaper, you know. You know, she barely could walk, I guess. But yeah, that's my goal with these dogs is to have them where my girls can handle them.
That's awesome.
You know, Slash is a little bit, the girls can handle him. Millie sends him on retrieves. Shelby sends him on retrieves. You know, as far as hunting him, I got a couple buddies that can hunt him, but he's more of a, I'm going to hang with dad type deal.
Yeah.
But I want May to be like, if you and I go hunt together and I decide to go to the truck and take a nap, May can stay out there with you. So that's kind of my goal is where my girls can handle him.
That's awesome. How do you think that's going so far with May?
Good. She and Millie kind of butt heads sometimes.
Yeah.
Because Millie's 9 and can be a little handful. And May's hitting those teenage years, I guess, pre-adolescent years. And so they play. I mean, they go out in the yard and play. And Slash goes out there and play. And I just have to explain to Millie that, hey, it's okay for you to throw a ball or something for Slash. Because he never had toys as a puppy.
Right.
I mean, we don't do toys. We don't do chewy things. They get their Nyla bones when they're puppies, and that's it. But she can go out there and play with Slash. And then 10 minutes later, she can go get one of the dummies or Dokens or something. And she can make Slash sit and he'll break on Millie sometimes. But then I'll come get a hold of him for a second. And then, you know, Millie was making May sit yesterday while we were out playing. So, you know, the more they're around these dogs, I think that's important if this is going to be a hunting slash family dog that the family knows how to handle them.
Yeah.
Because my girls do. They know, look, when May was a little bitty, they didn't get her out of the kennel and hold her and cuddle her and put her on the couch. And they might have while I was out of town. And when they watch this, they might laugh. But I mean, that's just the rules. If you get that foundation, and my wife really understands that now, I think, seeing how Slash was.
Yeah.
If we do things right, it might not be fun when they're little, but if we do it correctly, then they're a lot more enjoyable when they get older.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, heck, I carry Slash on the way to South Dakota. You know, used to, we'd leave the dogs in the kennel in the back of the truck. Slash walks right in the Marriott hotel with me. You know, stays right beside my leg. I'll go place him in a corner of the hotel room. He sleeps there till the next morning.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I think getting that foundation on him is key.
So for you, one thing that's ringing true to me, or that's just something that's interesting, you know, kind of the contrast between your upbringing and the dogs, you know, your family loved them, but they were also kind of, you know, their thing. But it seems like for you, you've kind of more adopted them into the home.
Oh, yeah.
The dogs are a little more a part of the family.
Yeah.
What is it, just the girls, they just got to have it? And
I think the girls, but I've always been that. I mean, even when we had like cow dogs and all that, and it used to drive my dad crazy when I was in college and got out of college, got out of grad school. You know, if it got too cold, I'd put all their kennels in the office at the barn, and I'd bring all my dogs in.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't need to.
Yeah.
You know, they were fine out there in their pens with the hay and all that. But, yeah, I mean, I just enjoy having them around. You know, Slash rides with me everywhere I go, or a lot of places I go. When I go, if I'm not going to meetings, I'll take Slash with me, and I'm going to do the same thing with May. I just think the more you take them and let them see things, and the better off they'll be.
Yeah.
I don't think they just have to stay in a pen now. I think that's where my mind has changed, or stay in the backyard, whatever.
Yeah.
So as long as they mind. But if they don't mind, like jumping on people and running around crazy, trying to get food, you know, that's a big thing we're on. Do not give my dog a piece of food.
Yeah.
You know, Slash has gotten a little worse counter surfing. You know, he got attacked by those pit bulls summer before last, about killed him.
Wow.
I think he ended up with, had to do reconstructive surgery on all of his tendons in his ear, cartilage, and ripped his head wide open down to his skull. I mean, he was in rough shape. So he got babied from July till September. And he still made the South Dakota hunt. We had to get him legged up really quick. And so he'd go run with me every morning, about 3 miles. But, yeah, I mean, and even now, like this year, going to South Dakota, I'll get a meat stick or a piece of cheese. I'll sit in the center console. He's riding in the back seat, stretched out. He ain't going to touch it. Now, at home, though, that's what Diane says. He does that counter surfing. But he knows better.
Yeah.
But I think it was last year when he was hurt.
He took advantage of it.
I think he got spoiled, and somebody might have slipped him a little, something or another, without me knowing. But yeah, we don't do the – we don't do treats, and I mean, hot dogs when they're young training, but other than that, they get love and petted on, and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. What, going from here, obviously, you know, you're around week 12 with May.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Slash. He's should still be going for at least another year or so, at least kind of winding down on his hunts, becoming more, even more ingrained in the family. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your thoughts with May? What do you want to get out of her? And just, you know, what do you want to see?
My goal is to have her ready to hunt by this fall, if she's ready. If she's not ready, it's like you said, you know, until you called me on Memorial Day this past year, when I was coming home from the lake and told me that Cedar and Violet were bred, I was going to wait till this year to get a puppy.
Right.
But when you told me that Violet was bred to Cedar, who I'd been wanting a puppy out of, and I wanted to keep Earl's line going, you know. I called Diane. I was like, Josh just called and said they're pregnant. And I got to get one. And, but yeah, I want Slash to be able to relax a little bit. You know, going out there when it's 20 degrees and ice hanging off of him. I think he's still got another two because he doesn't have any joint problems.
Yeah.
He's still in very good shape. And I think it would hurt him more not taking him.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2 years, I do want – he's still going to go to Arkansas, still go to South Dakota, but I might not hunt him 6 days in South Dakota. I might just hunt him two or three.
Right.
You know, and let Little Miss go run her butt off for 5 or 6 days and let her go sit in the freezing cold and let Slash sleep in and go hunt him in the afternoon.
He wouldn't mind that.
No. That's what's funny about him. He'll go hunt in the rain, you know, sit out there all day. But if you try to get him to go pot, I mean, Shelby texted me while we were sitting here earlier that it was still raining. She made Slash go out, but he won't eat because it's raining. Mae, this morning when I let her out, it's pouring. She loves it. Slash, unless he's hunting, he does not want to be in the rain.
That makes sense.
He does not want to be in the rain outside.
So. He was a little particular anyways.
He is a peculiar dog. He has got his little quirks about him.
Kind of like Earl, his dad.
Exactly. Mae didn't get any of that so far. She locks socks. She is a sock thief. When you're going to put her in her kennel, if there's a sock on the floor, she will grab it and doesn't try to chew it. She just wants to hold a sock.
Yep.
And blankets. So she'll go jerk the blankets off the girls. So I guess she's a sock and blanket lady. Wow.
That's awesome. This question that I was thinking a little bit about as we've just been going through it, you know, you've kind of told a lot of the story of you, your dogs, and all that. But what's been like one of your greatest, has there been any aha moments since learning to kind of train the way we do, and like anything that stands out to you, like has been one of your biggest moments with the dog so far?
Yeah,
doing things different than kind of what the way you used to do it.
I think the biggest aha moment for me is when I was watching you when you were in high school with Slash. You know, your dad and I were watching you one day. We were down at the pond. You had like 10 dogs on the line. And I don't know if it was Slash or one of the other dogs. And Keith and I were both sitting back there like, if that was us, I'd jerk a knot in that dog right now. And you just stay calm. Your voice never changes. You stay just easygoing. And I didn't do that with Slash. He was breaking one time bad. I called your dad and he said, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Tie that. Because we had those long drag lines for the bird dogs.
Yeah.
He said, put Slash's collar on, snap him to a tree, give him enough to. And I did. And it made him turn a flip. Son of a gun didn't break anymore that day. You wouldn't have done that. But with this puppy, I've been trying to stay calmer. Yeah. And she hadn't messed up much. But I told you, she got a little, just wanted to stare at me a few weeks ago, a month ago, I guess. And I kind of grabbed her by the neck, and then I was like, okay, let's just calm down and keep everything calm like Josh would do. And I think that's been my biggest thing is that, you know, just stay calm. They're going to mess up. They're like us.
Yeah.
Like raising a kid. You can't beat your kid every time they do something wrong.
Right.
They need discipline, I believe.
They need discipline. If they're not disciplined, they'll run all over you.
But there's other ways to do it besides just beating them or jerking a knot in them or something like that. It's to me, that's been my biggest, like, okay, big boy, if you'll just calm down, don't start yelling at them, they'll respond.
Yeah.
And I've learned just to sit there and, you know, if she doesn't do what I say, I'll sit there and just like a staring contest, who's going to break first. And so far I've won.
That's good.
I'm sure she's going to get me, but so far I've beat her. I've been able to outlast her.
That's good.
Yeah. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing is using this more non-aggressive way.
Yeah.
And just being, I've jerked a knot in Slash's butt. I'm sure I'm going to have to jerk a knot in Mae's butt one day. Okay. But not beat them. Not that I would ever beat dogs, but it's just sometimes those cow dogs and stuff, you had to get a little tough with them, those cur dogs and heelers. You had to kind of grab them by the nape of the neck and be like, look here, big boy.
Yeah.
But I think that's been my thing is just being a little bit easier with them and more patience.
Yeah. I think a lot of people's default is to super hard, you know, you're going to do what. But I mean, with these dogs and frankly, just the way we train, you don't. It's just a different philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And both work. I mean, I mean, nobody wants to be disciplined and with enough discipline, you'll line up. But it's just how the dog's going to be after the discipline. You know, we try to taper that and.
Mm-hmm. And it works.
I had to discipline Slash, you know, and all the dogs. There's not a dog that I don't have to. You know, some dogs more than others.
Right.
But I always lean on the side of, let's see what's happening first. I'm just trying to gain understanding. Why are they doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing something wrong? Can I set it up differently?
Yeah.
And that seems to work. So.
Well, I think a lot of times, too, when some of these dogs mess up, like once they're trained, it's our fault.
Yeah.
You know, year before last, we'd gotten out where we try to carry all the kids up hunting, like Shelby, my oldest, when she loves going, her boyfriend Dylan loves going, and Dylan hunts with me a lot, and his dad. But we were all hunting. Will had his daughter. God, we had like the Brady Bunch. I think my buddy Justin, who is a heck of a dog trainer, and he and I met in Arkansas a few years ago and got to be really good friends, and his dog Max is just unbelievable. I mean, Max is a machine. And Justin is in CGA. He knew what CGA was.
Yeah.
And that's what he uses. I've been borrowing his new, he got one of the new Cato Place Boards.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what because he was going to get a puppy from out of this litter that our dogs came out of, and we didn't have enough pups. So I took his Place Board, that Cato. So, but we had all the, he's got two twin girls. Will's got three kids. I got my two girls. And we were all hunting, and I shot a goose, and there was another one out. And it was kind of hectic in the pit. And I was sitting on the dog box with Slash. Like, I wasn't even in the pit. It was that crazy. Big pit. And he went and got the speck. And I got out of the pit to kind of get him lined up for that snow goose.
Yeah.
And he wasn't working. And I was mad. And Diane sat there and told me, she said, you kept saying Slash. And I thought when you were sending him on a blind, you say back.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sitting there. I was so frantic, I think.
Because all the chaos.
Yeah, it was just kids and, you know, and Slash was acting like a knothead for a minute. And Diane was like, well, you kind of messed him up, you know. And I was like, you're right, I did. And he finally went and got it. But it was like, I was about ready to grab a hold of his collar and just get a hold of him.
Yeah, he's like, where's the mark? I didn't see anything fall.
So it was my fault. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Yeah. And my wife, who could care less about duck hunting. She goes just to go with the girls and with me sometimes. But yeah, she was like, well, you kind of said the wrong words to him, didn't you? And I did. So it was.
Oh, man.
So it was one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a learning experience. I mean, I even do it sometimes now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially when the chaos of the hunt is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit easier when it's just a few people and one dog and, you know, with our guys that we hunt with in our club, it's Will and I have a dog, and Hank's a great dog. And then Justin's in a different club, but we all hunt together a lot. And he's got Max, which is a phenomenal dog. That's who we might breed May to if she turns out good. They would be some jam up puppies. I think he's a Wild Rose dog.
Okay.
Max is. So we wouldn't be able to register him.
That's true.
But like Justin, I said, if the people that know these two dogs, if May turns out good, they'll want one. So, it's just, you know, luckily we got good people around and good dogs around that it's, you know, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
All the dogs get along and, you know, Slash can, you know how he is with other dogs. He can, what you used to call it, the gang yard, prison yard, that Slash, he still does that, you know, but luckily Big Slash. Hank is a little, I do grab a hold of him when he does that. Yeah. He knows better than that, but he is all male. And he don't want to fight. He just wants to show his dominance. And I think he's done that since he was a puppy.
Yeah. The whole Slash was very prone to that.
Yeah, he still is. He ain't changed. So, but luckily, Hank's an American Lab, and if Will watches this, he's going to kill me. But I think Hank's probably about 90 pounds or 110 pounds.
Yep.
And not fat. I mean, just a ball of muscle. Got a head on him about that big.
Man.
And he just let Slash do it. And we're like, Hank, you could take Slash's 72 pounds. I mean, just get him off of you. But no, they all lay around the house up in Arkansas and get along.
That's awesome.
Get up and go hunt.
For moving forward then, what would you say to people that are kind of thinking about training their dog? You know, so you've had extensive experience with dogs your whole life. You know, some people may be coming into this with no experience. You know, what would you say to people that are thinking about doing it? And then once they start that process, kind of what would be some of your, if you could give them three pieces of advice that you've learned over the course of your life for dogs, what would that be?
Learn to think how dogs see things through. I don't want to sound weird, like think like a dog, but
yeah.
Kind of watch how dogs act. My youngest daughter last night, I said, Dad, can dogs talk to each other? Or they understand, I said, they understand our sounds. I said, but yeah, they communicate with each other by their body language and different things like that. So kind of learn how dogs act and the different signs they give you. And the second thing I'd say is don't be scared to mess up with them.
That's good.
I mean, you know, you're going to mess up. You're good Lord, you're going to mess up. Just don't be scared to mess up. Because it can be fixed. I mean, we proved that with Slash.
Yeah.
I mean, he got messed up just being left in a kennel with another trainer's and letting run wild. And took a little while, but we fixed it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the last thing is trust the process. You know, you might sit, because the videos to me now than where they were when we first came out with them is you show people now. You and Barton are showing people, all right, if the dog messes up, here's what it looks like.
Yeah.
This dog just messed up. Here's how you fix it. Because I think that was the thing in the first go around that everything was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like you said, like I was, you and I were talking earlier, I was fortunate enough, I'd call you or Keith on your cell phone and say, hey, what in the world is going on? What do I do? And one of y'all would tell me what to do. Or I'd jump in the truck and drive an hour and a half down to Corner, Alabama, and we'd go work Slash. You know, so I think I was fortunate that way. But I think trust the process. I mean, go by – there's a reason, especially if it's your first dog, do it step by step.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have been laughing for the last month or two. We've been kind of skipping around a little bit. But it's we know what – we're reading our dogs.
Yeah.
Like I know, hey, May's got this. I know what's next. We're going to go ahead and start combining the two. You know, but when I get into the more advanced training, it's going to be – A, B, C, D, and trust it.
Yep.
Because everything builds on everything. You might think that whistle stop's silly right now, walking them on the hill and doing the whistle and saying sit and clicking and treating. When you get out there in the field and you need that dog to stop, to go find a bird, and it doesn't stop on the whistle, you're going to wish you would have worked on it some more.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these little things add up to the big things, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. We put, I mean, it's put together the way it's put together for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we were just putting it together that way. I mean, we've tried it with so many dogs, and mm-hmm. 52 Plus is even more in depth because we, not only did we have our dogs, but we had, you know, hundreds and thousands of people that went through the first course, and we were able to just, we didn't change much, and there's little tiny tweaks,
mm-hmm.
but it seems to make an even greater difference.
Yeah, and I think the newer guys that are in the 52 plus, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, but everybody that's been around from the beginning, what do we call it? The Founders Club?
Yep.
I think I still got my hat somewhere.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's the first video, you could train a heck of a jam up dog with just the first go around of videos.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, you can take somebody that hasn't trained a dog. And I feel like I could give my 10-year-old or almost 10-year-old, I'd give her my phone and say, all right, Millie, go do what Josh and Barton say on these videos and do exactly what they say. It might not be a perfect dog, but I guarantee you it would do what I needed it to do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the cool thing. And, you know, having the app, I think that's my favorite thing y'all did.
Yeah.
Because I think beforehand we had to just watch them on the computer.
Yeah.
Didn't have lesson plans.
Yeah, didn't have the lesson plans. You had to log in every time with the app. It's just so what's funny, a lot of people may not realize this. Actually, we'll go back and watch my own videos.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't know. I mean, obviously, I produced the video.
Yeah.
I knew what I did. But the amount of preparation that went into, like, that's what people didn't see is we didn't just go up and film a video.
Mm-hmm.
The preparation, we had an outline. Everything was planned. Like all the detail, like, okay, what are we communicating?
Mm-hmm.
Everything about the video was like laid out before it ever existed. Like we had a plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, versus if I try to rely on my memory. So there's a lot of studying that went into each video. Cause like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know my own process.
Yeah.
But it made me a better trainer. It made me think differently because when I start trying to think of how important the value is that we're going to communicate to somebody, you know, I'm like, well, let me put some work into this. So right. like each video had a lot of study time yeah. and like prep time going into it. And so I'll go back and watch the videos because I know how much time I put into it. And it's like, you know, there may be something I need to be reminded of that that's easy to forget because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that are easy to forget. And mm-hmm. so, that may sound crazy to people, but no, I'll go back and watch them when I'm getting yeah. ready to train the dogs. I'll review them sometimes and just get a feel for it. Even if I feel like I've got that down, you know, it's never going to hurt to review it. No. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I can tell. I was like, oh yeah, that's easy to forget. And mm-hmm. it's like, I'm glad
I do the same thing. That. I mean, even though I've been doing this with y'all for a long time and even the puppy stuff, that's what I'm good at. I still go watch the video before I go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not every day, but before we start a new session or a new week, I'll watch the video just because you'll forget one little minor detail.
Now, that detail can make a difference.
Yeah, it'll make a big difference. That's the thing about training these dogs. All these little things add up to a big thing.
Yep.
And if you skip on some, I mean, that's why I'm just spending so much time with May on extended place and send a place, you know, from a long ways off and just sitting in the yard while we're playing hide and seek. You know, I mean, just little stuff like that I've learned with Slash. I mean, Lord, we were in Arkansas, I guess this was 3 years ago, during COVID. And that was Dylan's senior year in high school, my daughter's boyfriend. We were cooking out with some friends down the dirt road that we got to be buddies with. We were going to cook out down in our 100 yards, 200 yards apart. We carried some firewood down there or fire pit or something. Went right when we got back to the house.
Yeah.
Well, my intention was to go put Slash up, change clothes, and then go back down to Chris's. We got in there and started talking and laughing. It was 3 hours later. I looked at Dylan and said, oh, Lord, where's Slash? He was still sitting in the seat in the front of the side-by-side, hadn't moved. Now, he looked a little ticked off. I was like, buddy, I'm sorry, I forgot you. You know, a lot of dogs would have gotten up and just went and wandered around, but
yep.
he knows I don't have to say stay. When I tell him to sit, that means don't get your rear end off the ground until I tell you to move. And when I got out of the side-by-side, I told Slash, I said, sit, be right back. You know, I talked to him like he's my kid.
Yeah.
But he heard sit, and he was there 2 or 3 hours later. I mean, just, I went out there and loved on him and went and fed him. And I was like, sorry, buddy, forgot you. But just simple stuff like that doesn't yeah. seem like a big deal. And, you know, picking up decoys. I mean, we were hunting this year and hadn't shot a duck. You know, it was cold. Well, I didn't want Slash to get wet and about to get in the truck and for him to get cold. Well, I told him to sit. And he wants to come out and look at those decoys. Now, he's a big decoy helper, like I said. But he sat there on the bank, never moved. Didn't go wandering around. He just sat there on the bank. Now, he was wanting to come, but he didn't. And that goes back to that foundation that you and I and your dad did with him when he was 6 months old.
Yeah.
He knew not to move. And there's times where these dogs, you have to have a handle on them or they'll get hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some situations that Will and I were talking about it this season. One of the big duck clubs, they always allowed outside guests to bring their own dogs. And I don't think this happened at their club from what Will and I looked at, but they did it because too many dogs are unruly in the pit. And there's been some people killed from getting guns knocked over. Because of a dog running around in a pit.
That's scary.
You know, and I'm not going to hunt somebody like that.
No.
Or with their dog.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine from South Carolina brought his puppy this year, and he could tell I didn't want to bring him. He's only a little bit older than May and Birdie.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
But this dog is, Lance has been working him. He brought him, and he knew I didn't want to bring him. And he brought him, and I said, well, we'll take him out and just see how it goes. And I even left Slash at the house that morning, which I never hardly do.
Yeah.
Not take him hunting. But I just let him lay in the bedroom. And that puppy sit there. Might have broke one time, but he did it. But I told Lance that. I said, I don't want a dog that's doesn't have a handle on him around me just because I don't want to get shot.
Yeah, I don't want to either. You know?
Or I don't want the dog to get hurt.
Or anybody for that matter.
No. So, but the puppy worked out. You know,
that's good.
Went and got his first ducks and geese, I think, out there in Arkansas. So
that's a big deal.
Yeah, did good. But Lance done a good job training.
Yeah.
So got a handle on him is a lot to say.
Hey, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
What would be your final advice as we wrap this up for people, for them to get a handle on their dog. As you just said, I like that. What would be your, if you could give
repetition?
Them, yep.
I mean, I don't remember. I remember you worked when you were in high school. Your dad paid for you to work with a dog psychologist. I know you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some crazy stuff that came out of that I was like, really? But it works.
Yeah.
What is it? 10,000 reps before it's ingrained in them? Is that the right number?
It's not that many. Well, I mean, yeah, 10,000, your dog would do it forever.
Yeah.
But it's basically, I think we call it 75-250 rule. 75, you think after 70, really, most people think after, oh, my dog's did this 5-10 times.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on. Well, mm-hmm. No, 75 is what's called acquired.
Right.
On average, that means your dog doesn't even understand it yet.
Right.
They just can do it. Like they've mm-hmm. acquired the skill
mm-hmm.
versus 250 is where you start to become fluent.
Yep.
I think it's like up to 250 plus, somewhere yeah. in there.
And that's why we have our acquisition phase
yep.
and CG on the lesson plans and fluency.
Yep.
And so that, I mean, to me, now I'm not the hunt test guy and all that, but I want my dogs to know what they're doing and do what I say when I say to do it. And I'm not saying, yes, I might have to send Slash after a snow goose 3 times. I think that's that British in him, I think. You know, thinks he's too good to pick up a snow goose. But, they're not perfect. And they are going, I don't care how high level they're trained. They're going to mess up. They're going to have, yeah. just like any athlete, they're going to have bad days where they don't feel like doing it or just might be, I don't want to go today. I don't want to listen to you today.
Yeah,
I think that's what Slash does to me sometimes. But then if I'm calm with him, he'll come around. So, but that's my best advice is just follow the program. Don't be scared to ask questions. Ask some of these guys that have been in here a long time. I think that's one of the cool things about CGA. And I'm not very – I don't ever post anything. I'm not a big poster, but I read everything.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really good group of people that genuinely want to help. I mean, this is one of the few groups I think on Facebook, because I'm on a lot of different hunting and horse stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That, man, you're scared. I get mad and say a bad word. some of these smart aleck comments that some of these goofballs say on Facebook. But I don't think I've ever really seen that on our CGA group.
No, we got a good group of people. Yeah,
and I think that Keith would probably boot them out if they did, knowing Keith.
But yeah, we keep actually we don't have to do anything. I think in like the years there's only been like a few things we've ever had to address.
Yeah.
So it's just we got good people.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody genuinely wants to help people and just don't be afraid because it can be intimidating yeah. trying to train a hunting dog. Especially if you got a high powered dog. I mean, I remember you yeah. saying about Slash. His drive he always has had. He needed to be with somebody that guided 100 or something, like with Wade Skeen or somebody out there that's yeah. guiding all the time. And I mean, I hunt a lot, but I'm not hunting 100 or something days a year.
Yeah.
And Slash has got that kind of drive.
Yeah, he does.
And I think that's why it took us a little bit longer to train him and why it took till he was 4 or 5 years old to be able to come in the house just because he's not hyper. He just wants to go.
Yeah.
You have to watch him. I remember you telling me that with him in the summer times, you'd have to watch him during the summer because he would just keep going.
Yeah.
Other dogs would be kind of laying down, getting retrieves, and he'd be down there on the end and still wanting to go.
Yeah.
So I always have to watch him on that. But yeah, just trust the process and go with it. It's fun. It's a wild ride.
That's awesome, Cade. Yeah. Well, thank you for hopping on and yeah. welcome. You're the first one in the studio. Hope you've enjoyed it.
Very big honor.
It's an honor to have you here and looking forward to maybe hunting with you this season, getting a little video footage of old Slash in the May.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get Slash before he gets too old to do anything. But
yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Build From Here podcast. To learn more about retriever training or our podcast, visit cornerstonegundogacademy.com/podcast.